Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, November 21st. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures rebound after yesterday's sell-off wiped out gains for the year.
Bonds in Italy rally on word of a possible budget compromise.
The White House ramps up criticism of China.
And oil rebounds ahead of the weekly oil inventory report.
President Trump says the benefits of good relations with Saudi Arabia outweigh the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Plus a warning about romaine lettuce. I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm Rob Buschka. Head in sports, the Knicks fall to the Blazers, Nets win in South Beach, and two of the game's best on a collision course in Maui.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures, European equities, they're gaining after yesterday's sell-off. It is right now 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. S&P futures are 13 points higher. That's up about 0.5%. The Dow futures, 104 points higher this morning, up 0.4. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures up 48 points. That is up 0.75% right now. The euro, 113.84. That's up about 0.1% against the U.S. dollar. And treasuries, the 10-year yield right now at 3.07%. Nathan.
John, yesterday's U.S. equity sell-off remained contained overnight, with stocks in Asia posting just modest losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index finished off the lows of the day, while markets in Hong Kong and China showed some green shoots of strength in late trade. Japan's TOPIX Index closed lower by 0.61% in Tokyo, while the risk-off sentiment failed to send traders to the yen in late Asian trade. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
With the Dow and S&P 500 are now down 1% on the year. Still, Morgan Stanley Chairman and CEO James Gorman doesn't see echoes of the financial crisis in this sell-off. He spoke with Bloomberg from Morgan Stanley's New York headquarters.
It's not 2008. It's not the dot-com bubble burst of 2000. It's not when I first came to the U.S. I was coming out of graduate school in 1987. I mean, listen, this is a market correction that we're going through right now. This is well within our wheelhouse of what we can handle.
In October, investors pulled the most money out of stock and bond funds in more than 3 years.
President Trump once again is blaming the Federal Reserve for equity losses, calling the central bank a problem. He's calling for lower interest rates, although policymakers are still on track to hike when they meet next month.
And those rate increases have pushed up the return on cash. And Bloomberg market strategist Mark Cranfield says that could keep investors away from equity and credit markets.
If you're looking at a one-year yield of at least 2.6%, it actually makes it quite good for you to just keep your money there. Once we get past Thanksgiving Day, market volumes will slow down. People will have less and less to do, and they'll probably just be setting their sights on how should I plan for 2019.
Cranfield says this year is not likely to end well for global equities.
And meanwhile, the Trump administration is accusing China of continuing a state-backed campaign of stealing intellectual property and technology. Greg Sullivan has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The U.S. Trade Representative has not seen any fundamental changes in the way China conducts its practices, especially with regards to intellectual property and what they call forced technology transfers. These practices are at the heart of the Trump administration's grievances towards the Chinese. Along with that trade deficit with the country, it's these practices that have really struck a chord with the Trump administration.
And the new accusations come just 10 days before President Trump meets Chinese President Xi Jinping at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires.
And at the same time, the Trump administration is inviting the CEOs of BMW, Daimler, and Volkswagen to the White House. Sources tell Bloomberg President Trump plans to talk with the auto executives as U.S. and European officials work to negotiate a new trade agreement. The meeting is set for after the Thanksgiving holiday.
In Italy, bonds are rallying on talk of a possible budget compromise. Although Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini is disputing the report, he says he is not open to lowering spending. The EU is expected to reject Italy's budget when it publishes its assessment an hour from now.
And in France, Carlos Ghosn is set to stay on as chairman of Renault, at least for now. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has more.
Both Renault and the French government not being too committal on the future of Carlos Ghosn, other than Renault reaffirming that Carlos Ghosn will stay on for now as chairman and CEO.
In the meantime, Renault's chief operating officer will leave the company. Japanese media reports Carlos Ghosn will be held for questioning for another 10 days.
Sheryl Sandberg has come under fire for her handling of Russia's propaganda campaign on Facebook. Now, CEO Mark Zuckerberg is coming to her defense, telling CNN he wants her to stay on at the company for decades.
Sheryl is a really important part of this company and is leading a lot of the efforts to address a lot of the biggest efforts that the biggest issues that we have. And she's been an important partner for me for 10 years.
Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg has been under pressure following a report she tried to prevent the public from learning about Russia's interference in the 2016 election.
And crude oil is rebounding from yesterday's 6% plunge ahead of the Energy Information Administration's weekly oil inventory report. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Jessica Summers.
Traders are gearing up for a ninth straight rise in domestic crude stockpiles after last week's monster 10 million barrel build. But the bulls may catch a break. API reported a supply decline of 1.55 million barrels. If we do see a surprise draw, crude prices might have a chance to rally. In New York, I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jess. And ahead of that report, we're getting word from Saudi Arabia that the country's crude production surged to a record this month. As we check oil right now, Brent, the international benchmark, $63.50. That's up 97 cents a barrel. West Texas is up $1.10 this morning at $54.53 a barrel.
On the Brexit front, UK Prime Minister Theresa May is in Brussels today for talks, meeting with European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker tonight. Meanwhile, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says Britain's exit agreement and the future partnership paper must be signed off at Sunday's planned EU summit. Straight ahead, the latest world and national headlines. This is Bloomberg around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump said he won't let the murder of U.S.-based columnist Jamal Khashoggi jeopardize relations with Saudi Arabia, citing the potential impact on oil prices and Iranian influence in the Middle East. The president says the kingdom's strategic importance outweighs the horrible crime perpetrated against Khashoggi.
China and Russia would love to make $100 billion worth of military equipment from Saudi Arabia. We have the contracts. They wanted those contracts. That would be a big, fat, beautiful gift to Russia and to China. They're not going to get that gift.
President Trump said he would stand by Saudi Arabia regardless of whether Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered Khashoggi's death. The special counsel got some answers from the president, but not necessarily on every subject Robert Mueller is looking into. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It may have taken Trump a while longer to complete his written answers to the special counsel's questions than he first said. Back on Saturday, he told reporters he'd completed them.
I was asked a series of questions. I've answered them very easily.
He said he'd handed them off to his lawyers for review. Leaving the White House last night, he suggested anew. He'd just finished.
The written answers to the witch hunt that's been going on forever. No collusion, no nothing. They've been finished. Finished him yesterday.
Whether Trump answered all the questions is unclear. His lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, complained again that much of what was asked raised serious constitutional issues and was beyond the scope of a legitimate inquiry. And attorney Jay Sokolow said Trump answered questions regarding the Russia-related topics of the inquiry. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Centers for Disease Control issued an alert after a new outbreak of illnesses caused by romaine lettuce contaminated with E. coli. James Rogers is the director of food safety research and testing for Consumer Reports.
Washing does not remove this bacteria because what it can do is get inside the cells and inside the layers, and so washing doesn't do anything at all.
The CDC says 32 people have been sickened in 11 states. New Jersey will lift a major roadblock to legalized recreational marijuana with the legislative committee hearings, a prelude to state Senate and Assembly approval next month. Senate President Steve Sweeney says his House's budget panel will vote next Monday on a bill that assigns a 12% sales tax and allows local governments to collect a 2% excise tax on the drug. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Knicks welcomed one of the best backcourts in the league in the Portland Trail Blazers, and they took over. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard combined for 60 as the Blazers beat the Knicks 118-114 at the Garden. Coach David Fizdale.
I really love the way we competed. Obviously, you're talking about top team in the West. You know, that team has gone through a lot of wars, and I was just really proud of the way our guys competed. You know, just trying to find anybody that could speed-wise, you know, get over screens and chase those guys. They're elite, and you know, so that's really, I was just, it was more out of just trying to find somebody who can get over those screens and chase people and match some speed on them.
Five Blazers scored in double figures. Knicks fall to 4-14. Nets played with a sense of urgency down in Miami.
Get it into Allen, top of the arc, hands to Russell, circling left on the left side of the paint to the rim, and he scores again on the left-hand flip off the window. D'Angelo Russell with a team-high 20.
WFAN on the call. Russell finished just shy of a triple-double. Wizards beat the Clippers. Raptors are 14-4 after beating Orlando. It's billed as the nation's premier college basketball tournament. The Maui Invitational, top-ranked Duke beat number 8 Auburn 78-72. They earn a showdown against number 3 Gonzaga for the championship. The Zags took down Arizona 91-74. Locally, Shamari Pond scored 35, including a running floater just under 5 seconds left in overtime to lift St. John's to an 87-86 win over VCU at the Legends Tournament in Brooklyn. And on the pitch, Team USA fell 1-0 to Italy. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. As we take a forward look at the markets this morning after the broad sell-off, Wall Street poised for gains with S&P futures up 16 points or 0.6%. Dow futures ahead by 125. That's a gain of 0.5%. NASDAQ futures up 56. That's 0.8% higher. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Bloomberg Surveillance.
This is Jonathan Farrow.
And I'm Tom Keene.
Looking forward to catching up with Brian.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I am John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with this Bloomberg Business Flash. As we look overseas, stocks in Europe rallying. U.S. futures, they are higher, trimming losses after sharp declines across all asset classes yesterday. Asian shares, they were mixed. And U.S. Treasuries edging lower. The dollar right now, it looks steady against most of its peers. And crude oil, that is starting to gain. Banks and telecom companies, they're leading advances in the Stocks Europe 600 index. Again, the contracts on the S&P 500, Dow, NASDAQ, all pointing to a firmer open this day before the holiday. Now, the previous session's plunge in Apple stock hit suppliers in Asia after all the major U.S. benchmarks fell more than 1.5% yesterday. S&P futures right now, they are 13 points higher. That's up 0.5%. Dow futures up 104 points. And the NASDAQ E-minute futures right now are 48 points higher. I'm John Tucker in the Bloomberg Newsroom with that Bloomberg Business Flash. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Turkey's foreign minister says the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi should not be covered up for the sake of maintaining trade ties with Saudi Arabia. His comments came after President Donald Trump said the benefits of good relations with Saudi Arabia outweigh the possibility that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the killing. A senior lawmaker in Seoul says President Donald Trump is undermining America's diplomatic and military ties with South Korea, not just its economic relationship, by threatening to impose auto tariffs. Many South Korean politicians are voicing anger and dismay that the Trump administration could impose new tariffs after Korea renegotiated its trade deal with the U.S. earlier this year. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Nets won along with the Wizards. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:19 is the time now on Wall Street. And live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Joined this morning by Mark Chandler. He's the chief market strategist at Bannockburn Global Forex. Mark, you know what they say, there's got to be a morning after, and here we are. What did you make of yesterday's broad sell-off across asset classes? What was behind the wall of worry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a combination of different factors, Nathan. I think that today's stability. I think you're right that after a big sharp drawdown move yesterday, we had the thing that strikes me is that we had a big sell-off in oil prices as well. Oil prices were off almost 7%. The stock market, I mean, again, we're getting hit by a narrowing the narrow leadership, and that's what's really turned here. Technology stocks, a lot of things, and favorites of people. And so I think that we saw this, the fire sort of put itself out in Asia, a stronger close for some of the stock markets, including China, despite this new report from the U.S. claiming that China is still violating intellectual property rights. That recovery spilled over into Europe, and this is helping sort of weighing on the dollar, which is giving back some of roughly half of yesterday's gains.
Okay, so you see the fire being put out in Asia, but you mentioned that report from the Trump administration about continued Chinese IP and tech theft. Could that be a hot spot that that brings the flames back?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that this is not resolved. I'm sort of in the camp that takes Lighthizer, who issued the report, the trade representative, Pence's comments over the weekend pretty seriously, suggesting it's going to be hard for the U.S. and China to really reach the kind of agreement that's going to prevent another round of tariffs slapped down by the U.S., including raising the existing tariffs from 10% to 25% come the start of the new year.
So then, as we see some of these gains in the equity markets and the oil markets this morning, is this just buying the dip?
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of buying the dip. But I think there's a bit of a dead cat bounce. And I think that, like we've seen previously, I think that we still need to do some more work on the downside before we could really get a firmer base in place.
All right. So what kind of work do you see needing to be done then?
Well, I think that we'll have to see, you know, today's going to be, you know, a light day in the North America. I think what we need to do is see the gap. You know, yesterday the S&P 500 gapped lower. And just like nature abhors vacuums, so does the market. But we haven't, even with this higher open that we're anticipating, say 14, 15 points, we really need to see that gap. That is the distance between yesterday's high and Monday's low. And we need to see that gap closed to really lift the tone.
Now, looking at the currency markets this morning, we're seeing some sluggishness in the dollar spot index. Even the yen is showing signs of weakness this morning. Why haven't we seen traders moving into haven assets in this environment?
I think the interesting thing is yesterday we saw what would happen. The dollar is the safe haven. As the stock markets were getting clobbered, bond markets were rallying. The dollar rallied against almost all the major currencies yesterday. And so I think the dollar, given the high yields in the U.S., and remember what this means, for the first time, Americans have an alternative to the stock market, and that is cash. Previously, yields were too low to attract investors as a place to park capital, park their savings. But now, with yields rising, we see the T-bill market can absorb that. I think the U.S. dollar showed itself to be the safe haven yesterday.
All right,
so, not needed today, so it gives it back.
Yeah, so if we continue to see this further dollar strengthening and investors moving into cash as a safe haven, what does that mean for emerging market currencies?
Yeah, so I think that you know, the emerging market currency is like a proxy for like risk on. And I think that markets are a little hesitant still to move into emerging markets with a relatively strong dollar. And, you know, we've had I sort of think that there's three key Fed officials, Powell, the chair, Clarida, the vice chair, and Williams, the New York Fed president, they all have come out endorsing further rate hikes, gradual rate hikes. So I think that we have to anticipate a December rate hike. And this, I think, keeps the dollar higher and keeps emerging markets mostly under pressure.
And as we head into the rest of the year here with the possibility of a further rate hike, what do you see for the rest of the year in terms of the volatility of the currency markets, just quickly?
Yeah, so I think that this could keep the dollar well positioned into the end of the year. You know, typically a lot of businesses and banks, they do a lot of window dressing at the end of the year. And because of the tax breaks in the U.S., the repatriation back into the U.S., there's really a shortage of dollar funding. And so I think that we could see the dollar squeeze higher as people still continue to scramble to secure that year-end funding.
Mark Chandler, Chief Market Strategist at Bannockburn Global Forex. Always good to get your insights. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you soon. As we check futures contracts this morning ahead of the open on Wall Street, showing signs of life with S&P futures up 12 points or nearly 0.5%. Dow futures up 94 points. NASDAQ futures up 46. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers during the Season of Adventure sales event now through January 2nd.
Phil Sims. Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is now 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are higher following the two-day Wall Street sell-off that saw the Dow fall 945 points. Right now, Dow futures are off their highest levels of the session, but still 103 points higher this morning.
And we're also seeing crude oil halt its slide after plunging more than 6% yesterday. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabian oil production surged to a record near 11 million barrels a day this month. The kingdom is receiving stronger than usual demand from clients preparing for a disruption in Iranian supplies. As we check the international benchmark, Brent, it is up 98 cents a barrel, 63.51. Domestically, NYMEX crude at 54.44 a barrel. That is up $1.01 this morning.
President Trump's renewing his criticism of the Federal Reserve. He says the central bank is a problem and has again called for lower interest rates.
And it will be a busy day for U.S. economic data. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has this report.
Durable goods and jobless claims lead the pack at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists are expecting a tepid report on October durable goods, while jobless claims probably remain close to a half-century low. On the agenda for 10 a.m. Wall Street time, existing home sales, the index of leading economic indicators, and the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thanks. The U.S. is ramping up the trade dispute with China just days before leaders of the two countries meet in Buenos Aires. The Trump administration accuses China of continuing a state-backed campaign of intellectual property and technology theft.
Deere and Company is the lone firm in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. Let's get a preview in this report from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Farmers are concerned about trade, but Bloomberg Intelligence says Deere likely saw solid revenue growth thanks to a strong order book and replacement demand. Material expenses, freight, and currency are seen as persistent headwinds. Forecasts are for Deere to post an adjusted profit of $2.45 a share on revenue topping $8.6 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. And bonds in Italy are climbing on talk of a possible budget compromise. Still, Deputy Premier Matteo Salvini is disputing the report. He says he is not open to lowering spending. The EU is expected to reject Italy's budget today, John.
And after yesterday's 551-point decline for the Dow, that was a decline of 2.2%. This morning, futures pointing to a higher open. The Dow futures up 115 points this morning, up about 0.5%, but they've parried some earlier advances. S&P futures, they're up 15 points, up 0.6%. The NASDAQ futures up 55 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr and find out more of what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump says the U.S. will stand by the Saudis despite the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. President Trump says he will not let the killing jeopardize relations with Saudi Arabia, citing the potential impact on oil prices and Iranian influence in the Middle East.
I'm not going to destroy the world economy. And I'm not going to destroy the economy for our country by being foolish with Saudi Arabia.
President Trump spoke to reporters yesterday as he left the White House to spend Thanksgiving in Florida. Meanwhile, Republican Ohio Governor John Kasich says the president is sending the wrong message when it comes to human rights.
The world scratches his head and wonders, what is becoming of America? And this is really, really serious stuff. The hopes and dreams of people who've had the guts and the courage to stand up against tyranny, this is a dark day for them because they say, does anybody care about me? And when we don't care, it's terrible.
President Trump's legal team submitted written responses to some questions from special counsel Robert Mueller. The president apparently did not answer questions on whether he obstructed justice. Trump lawyers said the answers only cover events before Trump became president and Russian-related topics. President Trump downplayed reports that his daughter Ivanka Trump used personal emails for government business, saying the emails did not contain classified information and have not been deleted. The president called it fake news. A New York courtroom was shocked as a hung jury led to a mistrial in the case of a murdered jogger in Queens. Chanel Lewis was on trial for the murder of 30-year-old Katrina Vitraro. She was killed in August of 2016 while jogging near her home in Howard Beach. No deaths have been reported in a new E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce, but 13 people in the U.S. and 6 in Canada have been hospitalized, CDC spokesman Tom Skinner.
It's not unprecedented, certainly, that we have outbreaks like this. And we do what we can to move as fast as we can to get the product off the market to ensure people's safety and health.
Skinner says anyone who currently has romaine lettuce should throw it away. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Both local teams in action on the hardwood on Tuesday. First stop, South Beach, where the Nets got 20 points from D'Angelo Russell to beat the Heat 104-92. Nets coach Kenny Atkinson.
Listen, I thought we just played great defense the whole game, and I know it wasn't pretty. I know the offense didn't look great. But really proud of our guys. You know, we challenge them, you know, to come with the defensive mentality tonight, especially after giving up 127 to the Clippers. So just fantastic. 13 points the first quarter, am I correct? And then fourth quarter, 15 points. I mean, that's a heck of a job.
Nets closed out the game, outscoring the Heat 30-15 in the fourth quarter. Knicks weren't as fortunate at home as the Blazers' backcourt did it again.
Lillard again, now wants to drive on Hardaway. 5 seconds to shoot, into the paint, turns, spins, fades away, no! Ball's tipped in the air by Nurkic, and Turner's there for the putback, it's good! Nurkic tipped into the air, Evan Turner with the putback, and the Blazers lead it by 4.
Blazers radio 118-114 as C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard had 60 points for Portland's backcourt, overcoming a game-high 32 from New York's Tim Hardaway Jr. College basketball, top-ranked Duke snuck by number 8 Auburn and will face third-ranked Gonzaga, who blasted Arizona. They'll meet in the championship of the Maui Invitational tonight. Jamari Pons had 35, including the game winner in overtime. St. John's beat VCU 87-86 at Barclays Center to capture the Legends Tournament. Frozen Floor just one game. Oilers' Connor McDavid scored his 100th goal as they edged the Sharks 4-3. Earlier, they fired coach Todd McClellan and brought in Ken Hitchcock out of retirement. In college football, UCF climbs into the top 10. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The special Year Ahead issue, featuring the 50 companies to watch for 2019. Also in this week's edition, what's ahead for the U.S.-China trade dispute in the new year? Sean Donnan wrote that story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
The best case scenario, we think, is that we get some kind of ceasefire, a kind of, okay, guys, we've gone to war, now let's take a pause, let's revisit thing, maybe we put a pause on tariffs. The worst case scenario is there is no ceasefire, and then we go into January and the guns are blazing.
Read more about that and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. That's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. New Jersey is closer to legalized recreational marijuana.
In a prelude to state Senate and Assembly approval next month, the Senate budget panel votes Monday on a bill that assigns a 12% sales tax on pot. It also allows local governments to collect a 2% excise tax. The FAA is slamming the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. The agency says it doesn't have a reasonable or transparent method for justifying the fees it charges airlines to use Newark Airport. The FAA says the Port Authority has routinely diverted airport revenues to non-airport activities. Branzino is a flaky, tender fish, also known as European sea bass. It's become popular in restaurants. Most of it comes from the Mediterranean, but now in Waterbury, Connecticut, New York Times says Ideal Fish is commercially farming Branzino, attracting a lot of interest from grocers and chefs in search of fresher, more sustainable fish. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 is the time on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team, find out some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, we're talking about the dangers that face the poultry workers who get your Thanksgiving turkey ready before it hits the stores.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about the showdown over Campbell Soup's board coming down to the wire.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on pressure building on Newark Airport from airlines and now the feds over its airline fees.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a warning from Angela Merkel that the UK can't dictate its EU divorce deal.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Insurer Humana and Walgreens are said to be discussing equity stakes in each other.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple has reportedly purchased a company called Silk Labs that makes AI software.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures up 12 points at the moment. Dow futures ahead by 93. NASDAQ futures up 44 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:40 on Wall Street. The tech sell-off, Italy's budget, Brexit, lots to opine on. Coming up, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top stories.
Politics. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm John Tucker, the Bloomberg Newsroom, with his Bloomberg Business Flash. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures rising, although they paired some of their earlier gains. This could signal a rebound on Wall Street after the S&P 500 closed on the cusp of a correction of the previous session yesterday. December contracts on the S&P 500 right now, they are up about 0.4% this morning. Future contracts on the NASDAQ 100 up about 0.5% there. European equities, they rebounded from a near two-year low. Investors did return to the market amid optimism of a compromise over Italy's budget. The FTSE MIB was the best performer among European markets. The Stocks Europe 600 index, that was up about 0.5% after closing at the lowest level since December of 2016 yesterday. Banks, steelmakers, miners, and autos leading the advance. Again, the S&P 500 futures right now, 10 points higher. The Dow futures, they're up 77 points. That's up 0.3. And as I say, that is pairing earlier gains. NASDAQ E-mini futures right now up 35 points. That's up 0.6%. NYMEX crude up 83 cents a barrel at $54.26. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, good morning, Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. President Donald Trump's lawyers say the president has provided the special counsel with written answers to questions about his knowledge of Russian interference in the 2016 election. However, Trump's legal team rebuffed Robert Mueller's queries whether the president sought to obstruct justice. The 2018 Thanksgiving travel getaway is underway. More than 48 million drivers are expected to hit the road this week, the busiest Thanksgiving in more than a decade. Amtrak expects more than 750,000 passengers in the next few days. And if you are flying, you'll be joined by nearly 3 million people flying just today. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won along with the Wizards. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. It's our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics, expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Joined now by Edward Evans. He's Bloomberg Opinion's managing editor, joining us from our London bureau. And Ed, after the broad sell-off led by tech, Shira Ovadai is telling tech investors it could be worse.
Yeah, U.S. stock investors don't have much to be thankful for as you start the holiday season. And that's largely because the big tech firms that have helped drive the stock market up this year have been dragging it down. But if the big tech giants had had their way, these stock declines might have been even uglier. Take Google, Facebook, Amazon and Netflix. They've all either been barred from operating in China or been unsuccessful despite their sometimes desperate efforts. And that Chinese shutout might now be a blessing in disguise, at least for the short term, because the stock route might have been even worse for China's tech giants. They, of course, are tied heavily to that country's slowing economic growth, the trade fight with the US, and tightening government influence over tech and other commercial areas. Just look at Amazon. The stock price is down 27% from its 2018 peak in September, but it's still up 28% this year. Contrast that with Alibaba. That's the big Chinese online shopping powerhouse. Its shares have fallen 31% from their June closing high and are now down 15% for the year. Now, there are, of course, US tech companies that do operate in China or rely on China in other ways. And this has been both a blessing and a curse at times. US chip companies have been rocked this year in part because of the trade war between the US and China. Apple has probably navigated China better than perhaps any other technology company. It's a big part of Apple's global iPhone supply chain and a big buyer of the products. But lately, China has been a cloud hanging over even that company. There are concerns that the trade tussles will eventually hurt Apple. And actually, Goldman analysts recently wrote this week that demand for Apple's products appears to be weakening in China. Now, in the long run, it's tough for these tech superpowers to ignore such a big country and one that leads the world in internet use and sales of PCs. But at least for the moment, it's been a blessing in disguise that they're not there.
All right, let's move on from China to another country that's been getting a lot of attention in the markets, Italy, in its budget dispute with the EU. Marcus Ashworth writes that Italy's populists have lost a big confidence vote. How so?
Yeah, Italian retail investors are usually the loyalist customers for the country's government bonds. But even a four-year maturity isn't winning them over, and they're right to be worried. When Italian retail won't buy its government bonds, there's an issue here. The budget battle with the European Union isn't filling locals with confidence. Let's have a look at take-up from retail investors in the first 2 days of a placement. It's just raised just over 700 million euros, much less than at the equivalent point in similar recent sales. Now, beyond the natural anxiety about the populist government, one of the problems here is that the indicative 1.45% fixed coupon is below the prevailing market rates as yield has surged higher this year. But the big issue here is that this auction should have taken the strain off the regular auctions of conventional government bonds. With only 20 billion euros of bonds left to issue this year, the Italian Treasury could have then cancelled the auctions in December, as is usually the case. That looks less likely now. But also, Italy is already struggling to place longer-dated maturities. This week shows that the rot is creeping towards the shorter end, even when there's an inflation hedge.
All right. Always good to get your insights. Enjoy the lull as we head into the holiday weekend here in the U.S. That's Edward Evans. He's a Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor joining us from our London Bureau. You can read more about this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion by simply heading over to Bloomberg.com/opinion online. Bloomberg Terminal customers can type in the function OPIN Go to get all our insights from our Bloomberg Opinion columnists. John.
All right, Nathan, thanks. It is 5:53 on Wall Street, and time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podesk in the 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A super committee to fix failing union pension plans could give $3 billion a year in taxpayer money to the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation that insures pensions so it may take on more orphaned benefits. Attorneys tell Bloomberg Law that Amazon, Google, and other tech companies could face lawsuits and government crackdowns over smart speakers and video assistants if the companies fail to protect users' privacy. And the Copyright Royalty Board has locked in new higher rates for digital music streamers such as Spotify, along with a new way to determine how much they pay songwriters.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now in other legal news, let's look at the latest developments concerning Robert Mueller's investigation into Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. With President Trump's legal team submitting written responses to some questions from the special counsel. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Bob Moon speaks with Kevin Whitelaw, the deputy managing editor for Bloomberg News.
Has anything leaked out about what the president is telling the special prosecutor?
No, I mean, we don't have any idea of what the actual answers are, other than Trump and his lawyers have consistently insisted there's no collusion and this is all a witch hunt, as we've heard the expression many times from him. The questions that they agreed to answer so far largely relate to collusion, so one can assume that a lot of it's going to involve denials of various kinds.
Let's go back to that Trump Tower meeting. It matters a lot, right? What the president knew and how much he knew ahead of that meeting.
It does, and there's some questions about some phone calls that happened in the process of setting it up and in the aftermath, and then obviously there's also the question of the crafting of the statement about it afterwards and what he and his son were and were not trying to do. So a lot of questions. I think a lot of people are still a little unsure about what the exact charges, if any, would be in this, and everyone's sort of on high alert to see whether anyone in the Trump family is at risk of an indictment from Robert Mueller. We are expecting that special counsel's office to, you know, take some kind of significant action on the probe in the coming period of time. Maybe not this week, but very, very, very soon.
And that's Kevin Whitelaw, Bloomberg News Deputy Managing Editor, speaking with Bob Moon. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at OppenheimerFunds.com/ETFs. Here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
It's always a stock picker's market for the ARK Innovation Exchange-Traded Fund. Here to tell us about it, Eric Balchunas, Bloomberg Intelligence ETF analyst. So tell us about the ARK Innovation ETF.
This is an ETF that's gotten some notoriety because it just crushes the market. I keep waiting for this thing to sort of fall down, like this high-flying, high active share, active ETF, but it just doesn't. This year, it's up again about 19%.
But what guides its strategy?
It's looking mostly at companies that are disruptive and innovative, right? That's sort of its main thing. But if you look at the stocks that are helping it outperform, it's Juno Therapeutics, Twitter, Tesla. But it is a stock picker's market at all times if you pick the right stocks. I think that's the takeaway here. And the people are noticing this thing's taking in some cash.
Thanks very much. Eric Balchunas speaking about the ARK Innovation ETF. This has been the Bloomberg ETF Report. I'm Pim Fox.
And a headline breaking across the Bloomberg this morning, the European Union has rejected Italy's 2019 budget. That's according to ANSA. As we look at Italian bonds, right now the 10-year, the yield 3.55%. And futures in the U.S. pointing to a higher open. They paired some earlier gains. The Dow futures up 83, S&P futures up 10. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.